Long, the reading today is going to be from Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 32. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Further, women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Good morning. In 1977, the TV show Soap introduced the character Jody Dallas to the world. This character was played by the actor Billy Crystal, those of you that remember this show. This character is considered the first openly homosexual character on a primetime TV show. The actor Billy Crystal has been much loved by many people throughout his Hollywood career. He was probably an ideal actor to pick to play this character, as it seems like millions loved Billy Crystal and still love him to this day. The media chose wisely as they began an earnest campaign to mainstream the homosexual agenda. Fast forward to today, and our country has changed its thinking enough that we now are allowing same-sex marriage legally throughout the United States. Since the Supreme Court decision, Obergefell versus Hodges, reached on June 26, 2015, it has been legal throughout the country for same-sex marriages. Certainly, there are still places in the country where this is an ongoing battle, but the country currently legally recognizes these issues, these unions, I should say. Note, I said the country does, because as we all know, God does not recognize these unions as marriage. Marriage is certainly an institution that God has created, and as such, God will recognize those unions that follow the rules that he established, not the rules that man establishes. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. God instituted the first marriage and all other godly marriages since. And it says there, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A man and his wife. It is interesting to me that the homosexual agenda took this long to really establish the concept of same-sex marriage. About 40 years from the time of the Billy Crystal character on that TV show Soap until now. Growing up at that time, the vast, myself, speaking for myself, in the late 70s, the vast majority of people would have laughed at the idea of same-sex marriages becoming legal in this country. As of May 15th of this year, according to a Gallup poll, 64% of Americans say same-sex marriage should be legal. 64%. 72% support same-sex relations. Just 27% of Americans agreed with the idea of legalizing same-sex marriage in 1997. So 20 years ago, the number was 27%, and it's jumped to 64% just in those last 20 years. And in fact, perhaps even more frightening, 55% of people currently who identify themselves as Christians support same-sex marriage today. Certainly, the fight was already being waged by those with that goal prior to the TV show Soap. But in my mind, that is when it seemed to really start to take off nationally with that character. And like I said, picking the perfect actor that everybody loved to play that character. And he played it, if I remember correctly, pretty innocuously. It wasn't in your face like they'll show it today in TV shows. I have found the last couple of years horrifying, like I said, because there's another agenda that's connected to that prior agenda. Even though that introduction, same-sex marriage, homosexuality, that's not going to be our topic this morning. But we've got another agenda that's piggybacking off that agenda that seems to be going mainstream very quickly in our country. And that is the plan of the transgender movement. I don't know, they got all kinds of different terms for it, but the transgender movement. Their agenda has really seemingly exploded overnight with the victories that the homosexual agenda has achieved up to now. 5 years ago, we didn't really hear much about this new agenda, but now it has gone from 0 to 60 in a flash. The devil has certainly done an excellent job of piggybacking off the homosexual agenda to almost instantly make this new goal of mainstreaming the trans movement, gender-neutral movement. This has recently been introduced within our society, and like I said, has just literally blown up in magnitude overnight. The idea of many different gender roles that can either be predefined or even defined by an individual based on how they feel internally, what gender they feel like they belong to at that time. I'm sure most of you have heard by now that Facebook, those of you that know anything about Facebook, and that's pretty much everybody now, you've heard people talk about these things. They began to allow users to sign up as many different categories of gender. One article I read identified 58 different gender names used by Facebook. We know of two gender names, right? Male and female, man and woman. But they identify up to 58 different genders. One of those genders, and it's even more than that, one of those genders is defined as other, with a text box popping up when you select that, so you can write in whatever you want. So it's truly limitless, the number of genders that can be written in or typed in. The individual, whatever they feel like, they can type in as other. Not only is Facebook doing this, but college applications are moving towards using a male, female, or self-identity category. Again, with a corresponding text field to enter whatever you want, whatever you feel like at that time. I have also read that there are many company applications and documents that are doing the same thing. Everybody's starting to go in this direction. I have no idea how someone came up with all the different variations for the names given to the various gender roles. Of the 58 different names given by Facebook, there's four of them that are trans male, trans asterisk male, trans man, and trans asterisk man. I have no idea what the difference between those four names is. I assume there is something that differentiates how one fits into the various different categories. But like I said, I don't understand it, and I didn't get too involved in reading the definitions of those different categories. Most of the names are similar to that, same kinds of names. Of course, those four I named, there's equivalent for trans female, trans woman, trans asterisk female, and so forth. We would have no idea what most of these names would indicate about the particular person choosing that description for themselves. As Christians, we know what the real gender divisions are. There are two separate genders as created by God. We know at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Zakar is the Hebrew word translated for male or man in this passage, and in many passages throughout the Old Testament. Nekeba is the word translated for female and woman. These words mean exactly what we think they mean. A woman, and as described in the Bible, is a woman as described by mankind throughout history because of how God originally created and defined her. A man, also as described in the Bible, is also a man as described by mankind throughout history because of how God originally created and defined him. So those things have been the same throughout history, and we know what the definitions are, and the world knows what the definitions are. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.'" Skipping ahead to verse 20 through 22. "So Adam gave name to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." God, again, as we all know, made man and woman, male and female, boy and girl. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. "In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind in the day they were created." Man and woman together make up mankind. There are no third, fourth, or 58th genders created by God. As we know, God is the only one, the only being that has ever created mankind, has ever had the ability to create mankind. So God alone has the authority to identify the genders that he created when he created mankind. And we know, as I said, we only read about the two genders that God has created throughout his word. So what is the world teaching us today about men and women, boys and girls, male and female? Pretty much everything that we hear today in the world about men and women is contrary to what the Bible teaches us. We hear on an ongoing basis about gender issues throughout the world, men wanting to live their lives as women, women wanting to live their lives as men. There's a lot of disturbing information out in the world and on the internet for anyone to see. I think one of the reasons that this has so quickly become mainstream is because, again, much as with the popularity of Billy Crystal, this movement found another popular champion in the person of Bruce Jenner, as it has taken off here recently. Another character that was made famous and became very popular in the late 70s when he was a world-class athlete and won the Olympic gold medal for the decathlon at the 1976 Summer Games in Montreal. As we have all heard, Bruce Jenner has informed the world in the last couple, 3 years here that he has always felt like he should be a woman. He's always felt like a woman, and he has recently begun living his life as one. The movement once again picked a perfect person to help them in their endeavors to mainstream their agenda by picking one of the world's greatest athletes. The unofficial title given to the current existing decathlon champion. And not only was Bruce Jenner the world's a world's greatest athlete when he was, but he was probably the most well-known world's greatest athlete in United States history. The U.S. is always well-known for decathlon champions, but the only other name that as I've been working on this, that has popped to my mind that I remember is Dan O'Brien, probably 20 years ago, or about half the time back since Bruce Jenner. And I don't think I'm alone in remembering Bruce Jenner above most other decathlon athletes. So again, the movement got a great boost when Bruce Jenner became a spokesperson for this movement. Who is being attacked with these teachings that gender lines are blurred and we need to be able to create our own gender identities? Contrary to the gender identities that God created 6,000 years ago, our children are being taught these ideas. I think most of us in this room have younger children. They haven't got to this point yet, but as they get into high school, college age, this is going to become a big deal from things I'm hearing and reading. It's only going to get worse in the next few years, I think, than it is now. I'm fairly confident that my generation will, for the most part, not give in to these ideas that people can pick and choose whatever gender identity they wish, at least not for themselves. But our children are the real victims in this battle that is being waged by the devil. Make no mistake, the devil is responsible for this. These ideas are being pushed hardest onto those who are most susceptible to falling victim to the dangers involved. During the most susceptible times in their lives, our children are being taught that it is okay to be involved in same-sex relations. It is okay to question your identity as a boy or as a girl. There are people with an agenda watching young people, looking for them to have questions about sexual identity and anything that can be construed as such. What young person that ever lived did not have many questions at young ages about such things? And there's people watching for current children to have these types of questions. I'd like to read some disturbing information that is easily available for people to locate out on the web. This is a few paragraphs of information I read during my studies. A 2013 report from Intelligence Group, a consumer insights and strategy firm, found that 60% of people between the ages of 14 and 34 think gender lines are blurred. And nearly two-thirds say it is their generation that's pushing these boundaries, pushing those boundaries. MTV's head of programming, Colin Nash, gets the dialogue, telling Variety, gender neutral is kind of the new thing. Trans almost feels like a couple of years behind for our audience. Media that perpetuates rigid gender rules, roles, and stereotypes can affect children's sense of self, relationships, and career aspirations. Our latest research report explores the effects of gender-biased media on children's development so we can promote more positive, accurate gender representations that give kids the freedom they need to be themselves. As an educator, you can bring the conversation about gender representations into the classroom. Our digital literacy and citizenship tools and lessons help students think critically about gender bias in media. As a concerned citizen, you can use our kids' action advocacy tools to make action on policies that help close the gender gap, including child care, paid leave, paid sick days, and equal pay for equal work. So there's organizations out there trying to push this on teachers, trying to push this on citizens, that we need to teach our children that gender lines should be blurred, that we need to get away from this male, female, man, woman, boy, girl thing, and we need to let kids be who they want to be. Kids be who they feel like being at the time. There are groups out there right now who are pushing this agenda hard. As I said, they know that our young people are very impressionable, and while they are young, is the best time to strive to influence them to their cause. Again, as I said, I don't think this is a huge issue for people my age, but this has already caught on very strongly, if that poll that I just recited is accurate, with the young people of today. If that 60% of people age 14 to 34 is anywhere accurate on thinking the lines are blurred between male and female, and the numbers continue rising as they did in those statistics I quoted you about same-sex marriage, how dramatically that changed over a 20-year period. 20 years from now, who who knows what percentage of kids are gonna believe in this idea. The gender lines are blurred, gender roles are blurred, and you can be whatever you want to be on any given day or change your opinion on who you want to be at any time based on how you feel. How does God feel about blurring the lines between male and female? Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. This is kind of what we envision when we think of the idea of transgender, men dressing up and making themselves up to look like a woman as much as possible. How does God view this proclivity? As an abomination, it says in that verse, in that passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Not looking at the spiritual implications in this passage, but merely at the differences between men and women within. We see again that God expects men to be men, to dress as men, to wear their hair as men, to do things as men that differentiate themselves from women. Likewise, the women are to do the same. They again should dress as women, wear their hair as women do, do things that differentiate themselves from men. A woman's goal should not be to be seen to look like a man or to look as much like a man as possible. A man's goal, likewise, should not be to be seen to look like a woman. As we see from the passage in Deuteronomy, that is an abomination to God. None of the things that I've discussed in this lesson that we've talked about up to now are meant to say that a girl cannot participate in things of this world that are most often viewed as things that a boy does or boys do. And also, there can be boys that do things in this world that are thought of as things that girls do. I happen to have a daughter that likes to climb trees more than either of my boys. If I'm looking for her down on the ground and I don't see her, just look for a tree and she might be up in that tree. I have a daughter that is very happy filling her time up with as many sports as possible. She likes to be involved in as many athletics as possible at any given time. And that's not easy to get her to all the practices all the time. I have a son that is very in touch with his emotions and tells me and my wife that he loves us completely of his own volition more than all of our other kids combined. Daddy, I love you. Mommy, I love you. And he is very in tune with my emotions while we interact. When he senses that I am upset with him, he's approaching me seeking forgiveness for what he has done, or at least trying to make things better for him to cheer up the situation or rectify the situation for both of us. As we know, one of the main reasons for this push to blur the lines between the genders is to make the genders more equal in the world's eyes. We all probably fail to make sure that we treat the genders as equal from time to time, but we know that in the eyes of God, the genders are equal. So the world's got it right if they want genders to be equal, because that's what God wants too. We don't always show that's what we want also. The roles may be different, but certainly the genders are equal. Since that seems to be one of the main pushes for the world, is to make the genders more equal, we should make it known as Christians that in God's eyes, the genders are equal and have always been equal. God does not favor men over women, nor women over men. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So God's going to pour out his Holy Spirit on men and women equally, right? There's no favoritism there. If we choose to follow God, we're going to be blessed as a man, and we're going to be blessed as a woman, an equal proportion there. Going over to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. makes this point even stronger. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. As we see in this passage, we know that in God's eyes, we are all equal. Male and female, man and woman, boy and girl, we are all equal. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all part of Abraham's seed and heirs according to God, God's promise when we become believers in him, when we choose to follow him. We are all equal, certainly. We know that there are different roles, like I said, for male and female, and we won't talk about those today, but our main focus on that point is that we are all equal. Even if we have different roles, we're still equal in God's eyes. The passage in Romans chapter 1 that Chris read for us. In that passage, it tells us about how God feels about the people that are pushing these agendas on the world that we're talking about. Verses 24 through 27, and I won't repeat them, but those verses tell us that the things that these people wish to do and allow others to do, if that is what feels right to them. Men with men, women with women, doing things that are not as God intended. The people of this world and this movement are pushing to allow those things to happen, if that's what you want, that should be okay. Men and women participating in acts that God does not approve of, according to his word. As verse 22 reads, these people are professing to be wise, but they become fools. God gave them up to their own uncleanness. And verse 28 continues that thought. Professing to be wise, they became fools. God, as we know, allows us to make our own choices in this life. He has given us his word with his instructions if we choose to follow him. But if we do not follow him, he allows us to choose our own path. And in verse 32, we see the conclusion of this passage. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those others who practice them. We see here the condemnation of those who participate in these practices, and even those who approve of others participating in such practices. I don't know exactly what the final hope is for those pushing this agenda. If it is to make it okay for those who want to ultimately seek, as Bruce Jenner, I believe, has done, gender reassignment, that I don't know that this is really a big issue for us today. The articles that I've been reading are quoting numbers in the 2,500 reassignment surgeries per year currently in the United States. In a country with 320 million population, that seems like a pretty insignificant number. Although due to high-profile cases like the aforementioned Bruce Jenner and the push to legitimize the feelings of those who are having trouble identifying themselves as the gender they were created as, the numbers are certainly rising and are going to continue to rise, I think, at least for a time. I don't know how long it will take for those numbers to become alarming or if they ever will. Certainly, if we know of a person who is feeling confusion and inner conflicts over their gender identity, that person should help them out in any way that we can. Point them to some wise, loving, encouraging counsel and guidance with the goal of mental, emotional, and spiritual healing. If the conflict is serious enough to seek the help of a psychotherapist or a psychologist or somebody, one should choose one who respects and believes in the Bible. Even more valuable is going to be a close relationship with God for anybody that is having any of these types of questions. A close relationship with God will help us in any situation, of course, in our lives where we are questioning something that can draw us away from God. If the numbers are really as bad as we recited earlier, where 60% of young people think that gender lines are blurred, then our children are going to be faced with issues in this arena, either for themselves or at least certainly for others that they know and care about during their youth. We're going to want to instill within our youth the knowledge that God's people must follow the example of God to hate sin but love the sinners. While he was here on earth, Jesus was the perfect role model, as we know, who never condoned sin but showed mercy and compassion toward everyone. He was especially loving toward anyone who was humble and teachable, anyone who was willing to learn and live by his teachings. We want to show our youth this example also in our lives and teach them how to apply these lessons in their lives. Our children need to learn to assist others, as we are taught in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in closing this morning, we want to make sure we are always aware of the darts and arrows that Satan is throwing our way throughout our lives. We want to make sure that we are training our children in the knowledge of the Lord so that they are prepared for the things this world has in store for them, so that they can protect themselves from the snares of the devil, and they and we can help assist those around us who are enticed by the dangers of this world or these different ideas that the world is throwing at us. I was just discussing with someone here within our group last night that the conservative Christian voice is nationally always seems to be a pretty quiet voice. But we need to have an active voice, even if we are globally or nationally quiet. We need to have an active voice for those in the world around us to help lead them away from these current dangers in the world and to be a place of love, pointing towards the kingdom of God. So at this time, we wish to extend the gospel invitation. If anyone here would like to take this opportunity to embrace the gender role that God has created for you and begin your walk with him today as a man or a woman following God, living your life for God, we invite you to come forward as we stand, or if you have anything else you need to bring before the group, you can come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.